Was he the bad apple in the barrel or a scapegoated victim set up to fail by a flawed system? The State Emergency Management Agency worker who triggered the January 13th missile alert disputes the state's account of the events of that Saturday morning. We spoke yesterday and asked him to tell us his story.
It was a normal Saturday morning. I came in for day shift, and I was on time. My co-workers were there. We walked into the office. My supervisor wasn't there, though. He was late that morning. And we went into the office. The midnight shift supervisor was there. And then she suddenly left the office as I saw my day shift supervisor come in, park his car. So we were in the office. And then after a minute or two, I heard over the... We were logging in to our computers, and I heard the phone ring on the secure phone, the one we use from Pacific Command to receive missile alerts. The phone rang as I was logging in. The phone is behind me, so I didn't see who answered it, but one of my coworkers answered the phone instead of using speakerphone like we're supposed to do. And I didn't hear the beginning of the message, which says exercise, exercise, exercise. The coworker put the receiver down and put it on speakerphone after a short period, and what I heard was that this is not a drill. And then at the end of the message, I didn't hear exercise, exercise, exercise either. And so the energy in the room felt different than our previous drills. It was seemed very real to me, and I was 100% convinced that it was a real situation. The supervisors weren't there. The one supervisor, the midnight shift supervisor, she I found out later that she initiated the call. Yet I didn't recognize her voice, and my coworker admitted afterward that she didn't either. And my day shift supervisor was in the hallway. He didn't come into the office until later. And so I was 100% sure. And I did what I was trained to do, and I went into the, after I brought the program up on my workstation, I sent the message, the alert out, which is a two-step process. And
what are those two steps?
Well, it's first you click, and it's a drop-down menu, and then you select the link, and then it second message comes up, basically, are you sure? And I click that also.
So there's two steps, but they're two steps done by one person. Does a second person look over that at the time you're doing it? Do you have a separate sign-off on that, or is that all you at that point?
It's all me. There was no second person that needed to see it, or no one saw it.
That strikes me as a lot of weight to put on one person. Did it feel that way to you?
Exactly, and I found out later that they're correcting that issue now. They made two people sign off on the process now.
Well, because one of the questions that a lot of people asked in the immediate aftermath of that is that don't you have a second person double checking your actions at a case like that?
Exactly. It shows you how much confidence they had in me. I was there. I worked there for 11 and a half years, and I was a trusted employee there, and I served the supervisor one or two days a week for my shift, and so I was had a lot of confidence in me.
As you know, in the report, I think it's the January 30th report, you're not described as a particularly trusted employee. What's the difference there? What happened there?
Yeah, it's perplexing to me. I was surprised to read that.
You hadn't had indications in your day-to-day, previous 11 years that they were, there were job actions being contemplated, people had reservations about your work?
Not at all. I didn't have any issues.
The employee says the only time he was written up by management was for failure to fill out the proper vacation request form. The official Emergency Management Agency report, released January 29th, disputes that account. It reads, quote, "Employee 1 has been a source of concern for the same State Warning Point, or SWP, staff for over 10 years. Employee One's poor performance has been counseled and documented, and the SWP members have stated that they are not comfortable with Employee One as a supervisor, two-man team, or as part of the SWP in general. He does not take initiative and has to be directed before he takes action. He is unable to comprehend the situation at hand and has confused real life and drills on at least two separate occasions. In the case of exercises like this, this is at the highest level of intensity, obviously, for any kind of exercise like that. When you drill, as you said, when you do your training, are there prior exercises kind of leading up to it? You know, this is, in the military, they refer to this as a culminating exercise, where you have had a series of other events that kind of prepare you for something like this. Did you have anything like that as part of your training?
No, not really. This exercise was a total surprise. The two supervisors sprang it on us workers on a Saturday morning while we were transitioning between shifts. So we were vulnerable at the time also. Our workstations weren't brought up. We wouldn't log in to our computers yet. And the drills up to that point in the month or two before that, there were usually errors and mistakes by the workers. I mean, it's a learning process, of course, but the procedures and processes were always changing also.
When you describe prior mistakes, as you say, in prior drills, were then evaluated and addressed and corrected in the aftermath of those prior drills?
Yes, we looked at those, tried to correct those as time went on, but it was difficult because the programs, the IT programs that we were given, and the procedures were always changing from week to week, from the start of the drilling in November.
Those prior drills, were they specifically for a missile alert, or were they for things like tsunamis and earthquakes and the other kind of things that you folks deal with?
This was just for the missile alert drills that we started in the fall, yeah.
So it's specifically for an event that comes very quickly.
Right. We only had a couple minutes to finish all these tasks.
As you know, drills tend to come at an inconvenient time for the very reason that real-world events tend to come at an inconvenient time. Right. So that would be a standard thing that might happen in a drill like this. The question, I guess, is your knowledge of when it was a drill. When did you first hear those words, you know, and take in that something had gone awry here?
Well, I didn't hear any drill announcement or exercise. The word exercise wasn't used. What I heard was, this is not a drill, and a missile impact time, and et cetera. So it was very real to me. I didn't think it was a drill.
Well, you know, you've seen the timeline in the report that was released on the 30th, and it's very specific, you know, 803, 806. And approximately when in that timeline did it first come to your attention that this was a drill?
Well, immediately afterwards, the phone started ringing, and we were all answering phones, trying to cancel a message, but we couldn't because IT wasn't there to provide us with a way to cancel it.
IT wasn't there because it was the start of their shift, or because it was Saturday, or what?
On a Saturday, the staff doesn't work in the EOC, as they call it. So it was just us, the state warning point personnel, nobody else in the whole staff. We have like 50 people in the staff at Hyima. All those, well, not all of them, but the IT people had to come in to actually create an alert and it took, you know, as you know, 39 minutes.
So the personnel were not there to cancel the alert at the time that you learned that it was a mistake?
Right. There was no one else there but us. They had to come in.
How was that addressed?
They called FEMA to get permission to do it, which they didn't need to do. As we were answering phones from the public and from officials, we just did our best to remedy the situation, make it less of an impact, but it was a tough time.
Let me go back just to the event itself, because in the state's report, it does say that there had been two previous occasions where there was some confusion on your part between a drill and a real event. And yet, you're saying those were never reported? There's no record of that?
That's right. That never happened. There's no documentation or anything. I was surprised to hear about that because I was always a good employee, you know, always a team player, and I didn't understand when I read that.
What's your situation now? You've been dismissed?
Yeah, I was discharged, and February 5th was my last day. I had to clean out my desk, in so many words. January 26th is when they notified me that I'd be discharged.
You're a state employee, right?
Yes, a state employee, but my status was exempt.
Are you,
I wasn't civil service.
Are you entitled to benefits?
We're still trying to determine that.
You've said it was a system failure, and could you just sort of, if you had your druthers, what should have been done? You know, how should this moment, this drill, this 8 a.m. thing should have been handled?
Well, leading up to that, in the month or two that we were drilling, you know, the training was inadequate that we were given. The procedures and protocols were always changing. The management couldn't agree on how to proceed with the drills. There was a lot of debate about what tasks should be done by, you know, the order and the sequence and the timing. It was just put on us in a rushed fashion, you know, and we weren't ready for it. We have other things to do with the tsunamis and, you know, hurricanes and other things that this was an added task for us. And we just weren't prepared for it.
In the immediate aftermath that day, that Saturday, what did you do?
It was a tough time for me. I was devastated. And it was like a body blow for me the whole day, just trying to help out, answering phones all day. The phone was ringing and from the public. And
so you finished out your work day and then went home for the weekend?
Yeah, that was my last day of the week for me. It was Saturday, and I was off Sunday, Monday. I went back to work Tuesday, and no one asked me what happened in 3 days. They didn't get my story, and so they went to the press with the wrong story.
So you had no contact with your supervisors in the effect of what happened, why did you do that? Until the Tuesday after the Saturday?
Right. Tuesday they asked me for my written statement, which I provided to them, Tuesday the 16th. And that was the last day I worked there. So I called in sick the following day and went to my doctor, and because I couldn't sleep well or eat well, he prescribed sleeping pills and such. And I was almost in a depressed state. So it's been tough for me and my family.
That interview with the man known as Employee One was recorded yesterday morning, and you can hear it again on our Facebook page.